Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, it is time for Fast Track. And let's see one side of the coin, John. Sliwa gets six or more on today's birthday game. Other side of the coin, under six. Call it in the air.
Head, six or more for Sliwa because he's going to cheat.
Head, six or more. Sliwa wins.
Head, six or more. All right, it's to you, John.
Fast Track.
All right, Mace. Comedian Bill Maher went off on your favorite show on Friday night, wondering out loud why anybody likes Tiger King and especially Joe Exotic. Here's what Maher said.
Get the away from me with Tiger King. I don't care that he sees the light at the end. So did Darth Vader. There's no such thing as keeping a wild animal pent up but treating them well. Just ask Siegfried and what remains of Roy. Joe Exotic is in prison partly for killing five endangered tigers, which are endangered because of people like him. I don't get why the woke left loves this show so much and isn't on this guy like pink sequins. People should take their meandering outrage and focus it on this issue. You keep animals in cages, be they tigers or turkeys, and look who winds up being the prisoner.
All right, interesting take.
Yep.
But isn't Maher right? Why do you think people, for whatever reason, like Joe Exotic?
Well, first of all, I do not consider myself to be part of the quote-unquote woke left.
That my question just says, I mean, Joe Exotic is popular because of the show. Why is he popular?
Because he's a funny redneck. I mean, that's why
he's evil. He may have killed a person. He killed five times.
But, I mean, are you going to go down this road because Bill Maher doesn't eat meat? He's a PETA guy. I mean, he's an extremist when it comes to issues of animal rights. Are you going to go all the way down the Bill Maher, I'm with PETA road?
No, I think this is, for me, it's less about Maher. I think anybody could have said it. My question is more about the popularity of Joe Exotic, who appeared to you, first of all, I'm pretty sure he should be in prison.
I think he tried
to kill Carol Baskin.
No, he's in prison for 22 years.
But I think he deserves it. But wouldn't you agree with me that if we took a popularity test on this guy, he'd be pretty popular?
It's a true crime story. What do you think of Brendan Dassey and the other one for Making a Murderer? What do you think of Robert Durst and the murders they committed?
Those guys aren't as popular as Joe Exotic. People hate those guys.
At their time, Making a Murderer was a gigantic story. It was a true crime story. There's an element of, it's like a true crime redneck story. That's what Joe Exotic actually is.
I will agree with you on that, Mace, because I feel like especially... what was the guy's name from Making a Murderer? Not Brendan Dassey, but the other one.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the other guy.
I can't think of the other guy.
Yeah, the guy with the white hair.
Super popular, and he had all kinds of like hot babes that were just like, you know, sending him hundreds and hundreds and thousands of letters trying to be his girlfriend when he was in prison.
Right. My question is more about I really don't. I watched Tiger King. I didn't like it as much as you guys did. I don't hate anybody, but I certainly wouldn't worship at the Church of Joe Exotic.
I think he's a bad guy. First of all, I think he's totally forgotten, just like Brendan Dassey and whatever the other guy was and all that stuff.
Already?
Steven Robert Avery. Durst.
Sure.
You think it's over?
Forgotten.
You think the Tiger King wave is over?
It's over. It was like that. Bam. It was a really interesting, weird, true crime story. The guy wound up in prison, not unlike in Making a Murderer or any of those other shows. And it was just fascinating to watch this weird world that none of us ever knew existed and led to a woman probably killing her husband and feeding him to tigers and a guy hiring a hitman to go knock her off. I mean, it's a true crime story with a bunch of weird characters. So it's not a matter of worshiping him. We don't worship characters.
Well, you don't, but I think the general fans of Tiger King do. For example, I think that Carol Baskin, I don't think, was out killing tigers. Maybe she was. I don't know. I think she killed her husband.
No, she was out killing husbands.
I think she killed her husband.
Yeah, I mean, I think
Joe Exotic,
more a capital crime.
Okay, Joe Exotic tried killed to kill tigers. Carole Baskin and killed five tigers.
Killed tigers.
Like, so, shot him in the head.
So did the other guy. Doc Engle regularly killed tigers.
But wouldn't you agree with me that Joey, after, just in general popularity, Joe Exotic is way more popular and well-liked than Carole Baskin is?
God.
Do you agree with that, Lindsay?
Yes, 100%. In fact, my brother-in-law has a Joe Exotic Tiger King t-shirt.
Yeah.
Really?
Now, yeah,
yes.
And I think a lot of people would, Mace. I think if we gave away Joe Exotic Tiger King t-shirts, people would want them.
Really? Then we should do it. We should probably do it if we can milk that for some ratings. Yeah, no, I mean, I just looked at it. First of all, I think it's over. It's 15 minutes is up. It's done. I mean, I had a couple of those people from the show my podcast, and it was great, but I mean, it's over. It's over just like that.
Yeah, but you would, if you got a call today,
it was a true crime story.
If you got a call today that Joe Exotic wanted to go on the Culture Pop podcast, you would take him.
Oh yeah, I would, but I wouldn't. It wouldn't be kid gloves. I would bring up murdering tigers,
right?
And trying to murder a lady.
But at the end of it, I think a lot of people would listen to it. It may even challenge the John Ireland podcast as the most listened to Culture Pop podcast.
Nothing will challenge. That is going to be that is going to be the highest ranked podcast of the Culture Pop podcast history until you interview me.
Excellent.
On the Culture Pop podcast.
Funch.
Fast Track.
All right, let's go here. On Saturday afternoon, the New England Patriots drafted kicker Justin Rohrwasser, who was immediately immersed in controversy over one of his tattoos. Rohrwasser, that's a very difficult name for me.
Yeah, say that five times fast.
Rohrwasser, who kicked at Rhode Island and then Marshall, has a tattoo on his left forearm featuring a 3 Roman numeral symbol, which represents a controversial right-wing militia group called the 3%ers. Now, the 3%ers were founded back in 2008, the same year Obama was elected president, and they advocate for individual gun rights while opposing federal government involvement in local affairs. They were infamously serving as guards for white supremacist protesters in Charlottesville, Virginia. Rohrwasser says, quote, "I got that tattoo when I was a teenager. I had a lot of family in the military, and I thought it stood for a military symbol at the time. Obviously, it evolved into something that I did not want to represent. When I look back on it, I should have done more research before I put any mark or symbol like that on my body. It's not something I want to represent, so it will be covered." So here's the question. The Patriots do their homework. Should they even be thinking about drafting a kid with this tattoo, especially if he's going to be playing in Boston, a town known for its racist history?
No, they didn't do their homework. They obviously didn't know about the tattoo until it came out. And I'm not buying this guy's act for a second. This is Josh Hader. This is who was that wide receiver for the Eagles that got caught using the N-word at a concert? This is the same thing.
Wait a minute. How can you guys say that? Like, how can you say they didn't do his homework when this is a very prominently displayed tattoo that is?
Yeah, I don't think they knew about it. I don't think the Patriots knew about it.
I mean, if you watch any film of this guy, it's pretty clear that it's there. I mean,
yeah, but think about who's watching that film. Bill Belichick. I mean, to be honest, Mace, had I been watching film of this
kicker, I wouldn't have known what it was.
I wouldn't have known that. Would you, Lindsay?
Would you have known what it was, Lindsay?
I wouldn't have known what it was, but somebody's got to know what it is, right?
Yeah. Why? None of us knew. We're all smart.
You see a tattoo, you don't necessarily interpret it or look up what it means.
Yeah, I mean, until you get the Patriots had no idea. Come on.
Okay.
And by the way, this guy, I'm not buying what he's selling either. He knew what it was. He never thought he'd be playing in the NFL, and now he's got to go back and fix it. And the one thing about sports is, if you have athletic ability, and this guy goes out and kicks 360-yard field goals, he'll have a covered-up tattoo, and he'll be the kicker for the Patriots.
Yeah, they'll forget it, but you don't get that by accident. It's different from a tweet. You actually got this hateful message right on your body. That's next-level hatred. All right, Funch?
Fast Track.
All right, Mace, the SEC broke a record for the most first-round draft picks by a conference in the NFL draft, with 15 on Thursday, beating the previous record of 12, which was set by the ACC and the SEC. But Kirby Smart, the Georgia head coach, says coaches in other conferences will use that as a negative during recruiting. Smart says the other coaches tell kids that the SEC is so physical and so competitive that they'll get beat up if they go to the SEC. The opposing coaches will say, quote, if you want to play right away as a freshman and get out of college healthy, why would you go to the SEC? End quote. It seems to me that wouldn't appeal to a high school kid. Every high school kid I've ever met only cares about one thing, getting to the NFL. But let me ask you, let's say you're a top high school recruit. You're getting recruited by everybody. You can go anywhere you want. If you take option one, your choices are LSU, Alabama, or Georgia. You'll go to one of those three. If you
and
take
I'm really good.
You're good. You can go anywhere you want.
Okay.
Option one, you get to pick between LSU, Alabama, or Georgia.
Yep.
If you take option two, you get to pick between Oklahoma, Ohio State, or Clemson. Which option are you taking, one or two?
Two.
Why?
I think the competition is slightly less than the SEC, and I know at all those schools I also have a chance to win a national championship with an easier path to doing it.
Lindsay, how about you?
I'm going to say two for the same reasons as Mace. I'm going to be boring.
But Funch, how about you? You going to the SEC or you're moving away from it?
I think I move away from it.
See, I'm going to be the only one that said I would go to the SEC, and here's why. 15 of 32 picks go into the NFL. 15 of 32. That's like a 45% chance I'm going to achieve my dream. All kids care about when they're in high school is how am I getting to the NFL. This tells me if I go to the ACC or the SEC, I'm getting in. I think there was maybe two UCLA players taken this year.
Yeah, but if I'm going to Clemson, I've won, what, two of the last four national championships.
Right.
I mean,
and then you have
got an easier way to the playoff than any team in the SEC.
Yeah, but boy, SEC is where the fun is, man. That's where you play a big game every week.
But I want to win a championship.
Yeah, I think Alabama's got the, you know, the last 10 years, Alabama's been in more title games than Clemson.
Yeah, I know, but I think they're past peak. I know it didn't go their way this year, but I think Dabo Swinney's now the state-of-the-art coach in college football.
Alabama grad. He went to the SEC.
Yes, he did.
All right. Coming up next, Funch will have a question. Lindsay will have a question.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. I rolling on with Fast Track, and Funch, it's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, so last Thursday, the Dallas Cowboys drafted Oklahoma receiver C.D. Lamb as their first-round pick at 17. Now, C.D. wore number 2 in college, and he wants to wear number 10 in the pros, but there could be a problem. According to Blogging the Boys, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones wants Lamb to wear 88, the same number that Cowboy greats Dez Bryant, Drew Pearson, and Michael Irvin wore. Now, it turns out that Jones not only wants Lamb to wear the 88 jersey because of a history behind the digits from a franchise standpoint, but he also explained that it has to do with his honoring his late friend and teammate, Jerry Lamb, who they both won a national championship together in Arkansas back in 1964. Now, even though Jones is the owner and the boss, should CD have to wear number 88 if he doesn't want to?
I think he's got to bite the bullet, especially when first of all, you want to try and make the owner happy.
Yeah.
But May, second of all, when he invokes the dead friend, you can't really say no, can you?
Yeah, no, that's really tough. And maybe C.D. Lamb understands it better because of that story. Like, maybe he's more willing to wear 88 once
By
he
the way,
hears
there are rules,
and knows that story.
There are rules in the NFL that you can only wear certain numbers for certain positions. And I thought 10 was only a quarterback number.
No, you can wear 10. DeSean Jackson wore 10.
I think it's any offensive.
So it must
player,
be any
right?
number that I think it's. Oh well, no, because you can't. I know in the old days maybe I think it's 1 through 20 and 80 through 90 if you're a receiver. But for example, if you're a running back, I think you have to wear something between 20 and 49. I don't think you're allowed to wear any other number. You may be able to wear a single-digit number. But
here, I found the rule exactly.
Okay.
Players who wear numbers from 50 to 79 are, by rule, prohibited from catching or touching forward passes if their team is in possession of the ball and may not line up in a position that allows them to do so.
Is that the only rule, though? I mean, like, yeah, if I'm a wide receiver, can I wear a number in the 40s?
It says, other than this, the correspondence between jersey numbers and player positions is largely a matter of style, tradition, and semantics.
Hmm. Interesting. I wonder why.
I think the ultimate answer here, John, is your original one. Your boss wants you to wear 88, and he's invoking the dead friend rule. I'm sorry, you're wearing 88.
Mates, what have I always taught you is the hardest part about any job?
Yeah, keeping your boss happy.
Doing what your boss wants, even if it may not make sense to you. CD Lamb, welcome to number 88.
What if number 10 is sentimental to him, though?
Tough. Don't think you can do it. Jerry Jones is Jerry Jones. He drafted from a $200 million yacht. you do not have the card in your or your club in your bag to say no to Jerry Jones.
And the track record to say no. So you know, I think 88 it is.
Something similar happened to the Browns' first round pick. Was it Jed? He's from Alabama. Jed Wills. So he wanted to wear 74, but it was taken. He wanted to wear 73, which was Joe Thomas's number, future Hall of Famer. Joe Thomas gave him his blessing, but Browns coach Kevin Stefanski, he said, no, I don't think that you're ready to wear that number yet. So he's not even allowed to wear the number that he wants to wear. And even though Joe Thomas said, it's okay, you can do it, the coach is like, nope, can't do it.
Well, again, the coach is in charge.
Yep.
That other guy's a rookie.
Yep, I get
rookies,
it.
Rookies have no rights. I learned that from Phil Jackson. Rookies have no rights. So there
Fast
you go.
Fast track.
Lindsay.
All right, guys. So the first ever YouTube video was uploaded on April 23rd, 2005, 15 years ago last Thursday. YouTube co-founder Jawed Karim posted the short clip titled Me at the Zoo, which since has over 90 million views. Let's take a listen to this short clip.
All right, so here we are, one of the elephants. The cool thing about these guys is that they have really, really, really long trunks, and that's cool. And that's pretty much all there is to say.
Yes, that video had 90 million views so far.
Wow.
A year after Me at the Zoo, Karim and fellow co-founders sold the platform to Google for $1.65 billion. And now the platform boasts more than 2 billion logged in users each month, according to YouTube, and 1 billion hours of content is consumed daily. So I was thinking, it's crazy to think of how far YouTube has come over the past 15 years. And to many, it's like an integral part of their daily media consumption or even like their daily life in general. And it really is like one of the most groundbreaking digital platforms ever created. So out of curiosity, what are three websites or apps that you guys cannot live without?
Okay.
I'll let you go first, Mace. Go for it.
Okay. Wikipedia is one.
That is a pretty good one.
Honestly,
yeah, I would get rid of it today.
It's honestly the main source of if I need to know something in a big hurry, Wikipedia is like a perfect, perfect site. I will say that certain hub is necessary.
Wait a minute. I thought you didn't have a dirty mind. I thought you didn't even notice the Rams phallic hat.
That certain hub is very useful.
Yeah.
I would say
can't believe you lied about that.
And the Drudge Report, which I read every single day. I love the Drudge Report.
I'm surprised one of yours, Mace, wasn't IMDb.
You know, I've only got three, right?
Yeah.
IMDb right. would
so
be
I'm
on
looking
the list.
I'm looking at my phone, Lindsay, this would basically tell me what apps I have on the front page would all be in the running.
Oh, you're okay? talking about apps. I was talking
she
about
said,
it could be apps
well, she
or
said
websites.
Websites or apps. So the answer to your question is, on my top line, I have like all the stuff that everybody has. But on the second line, after settings, weather, and clock, I have ESPN.com. Or the ESPN app. So I think that has to be one of my three. The next app I have after that is Google. I use Google all the time. And,
oh, yeah, true.
Because I just Google stuff. Then the third one's going to be hard. I use Waze a lot. I use Netflix. I use Uber. I use all
think
the,
of all of these. If one of them was just stripped from you tomorrow, would you just be completely helpless?
With no Google and no ESPN.com, I absolutely would.
Yeah, with no Google, I would be effed. I mean, I don't think I can live. I didn't even think of Google because you just type it into the search bar, and that takes you anywhere you want. So I think Google is like the single most indispensable website there is.
And the third one, if I had to pick one, I guess I would go to a website because all these other apps I probably could live without if I needed to. But my third app might be I read as much content on this website now as I do in any newspaper website. Might be The Athletic.
As an app?
That's a good one.
Yeah, as a website. She said app or website. So I might read The Athletic as much as any website I go to. I go to ESPN.com, I go to The Athletic, I go to a bunch of smaller websites when I'm writing Fast Track, but I read articles from The Athletic. I think all the best sports writers are there now, you know, regardless of what city you live in. I think that that's where you can get the most content.
I can't believe that neither of you guys said Twitter.
I can live without Twitter. And Twitter's so, Twitter is so negative.
It is really toxic.
That it actually, when you take a break from Twitter, you feel better about life. Twitter is a toxic cesspool. It really
Although
is.
I have fun in the cesspool. I don't mind going for a swim in a cesspool.
Well, one of the hubs you mentioned or sites you mentioned is fun. You know,
yes, it is.
So I'm not saying it's not fun, but it is a you would agree it's a toxic cesspool.
It is a toxic cesspool. Yes, I will go along with that.
I mean,
right.
I don't know about you guys, but like I get a lot of my news from Twitter. Like I use that for any, like I would say mine would be like, I don't think it would be Twitter because I get so much news from that, but I use Yahoo instead of Google because Yahoo is the same like search function, but it also has like the top stories. And it's like, if there's something important going on in the world that you need to know about, you go to Yahoo. And I guess that's just like a habit of, you know, back in the day when everyone had Yahoo
you
mail addresses.
You still use Yahoo?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Yahoo's great for news. Like I said, it's one of those where, like, you log into that.
Oh, Yahoo News. Yeah, I use Google News all the time.
Just Yahoo.com. Just Yahoo, the website.
Really?
Yeah. And then the other two would be Amazon, which I could not live without Amazon, I feel like, and Apple Podcasts.
Because I use Google News a lot, too. But I'm telling you, Drudge, very underrated. You get everything on Drudge.
I'll have to check that out.
Yep. It's not one of the most visited sites in the world for nothing. More Fast Track coming up next. I believe I'm up when we come back. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track, and it's to me today.
Fast Track
is the 80th birthday of one of the greatest living actors and one of the greatest actors of all time, Al Pacino. So as we often do on the show, three greatest performances game. What are the three greatest performances of Al Pacino?
All right, I'm going to go last. Lindsay, what do you have?
Lindsay?
Sorry, I was on mute.
She turns off her mic.
Yeah, sorry, I was on mute. One of the very, very obvious ones, Scarface. And then I'm going to go with Donnie Brasco, which is a classic.
Excellent movie.
Yeah, it's so
and
good.
The last one is kind of probably a surprise to many people, is the old Sea of Love.
Sea of Love is great, but you left The Godfather out?
You know what? I've never seen The Godfather.
What? What? Stop it! Stop!
What? Fudge, stop the music.
Stop.
Turn the Eagles off. I've never asked anyone ever turn the Eagles off. Say that again.
I've never seen The Godfather.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
We may need to let her go watch it right now and come back to the show.
I don't even know you anymore.
Lindsay.
Who are you?
It's the greatest, and both of them, it's the greatest two movies in the history of movies.
What kind of person has not seen The Godfather?
I haven't seen either.
The Godfather Part 2?
What?
See?
Yeah.
I'm not the only one.
Funch, you too?
Wait a minute. Funch, how old are you?
An adult male human being
39,
in America?
39.
You're 39. Lindsay, how old are you?
I would prefer not to say.
Okay.
It never reveals
your
age.
Yeah, no, girls never don't like talk about it. But, but you're the youngest one in the show, right?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a pass because neither one of you are even 40 yet, and these movies came out in the 70s. They are, last year in Houston, I was feeling under the weather. I felt myself losing my voice. I said, I'm going to pound tea and watch all Mace, all three Godfather movies. I stayed in all day and did the game that night, and they still hold up. They are the greatest movies ever made. Ever. Whatever movie you're thinking, it's not better than The Godfather. Funches, I can't believe you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I tried to watch it. I tried to watch like
really
the first 15 minutes,
you,
and I
Michael.
It was too slow.
Same.
You guys both tried and ejected.
I wouldn't say that like I made a plan to sit down and watch it. I'll say like it was on TV or it was on somewhere, and I was like, oh, I'll try and watch this, and that was just too boring for me.
Okay, here's the thing.
I have a very strict 15-minute rule.
Okay, Funch, you can turn the Eagles back on. I'm just in shock.
You guys must have, in order to continue on the show, you must watch The Godfather and The Godfather 2. That is a strict homework assignment.
Yeah, we'll give you guys 2 months. All right.
No, two okay. months. 1 week. Next month.
No, no. One week is too fast.
I'm not going to watch it before next week, probably. I mean,
let him go on a plane or let him go. Let's get out of quarantine.
Yeah.
But you guys will not be disappointed. It is the great. I mean, wow. I didn't know any. I didn't think I knew anybody who hasn't seen The Godfather.
I mean, I've seen parts of it, like on TV, but...
Funch, what's your list of Al Pacino movies?
I got an honorable mention, Paterno. You guys seen Paterno?
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah, he's good in it.
Yeah, okay, so my top three is Son of a Woman, Any Given Sunday, and Donnie Brasco.
I've got to tell you.
By the way, Funch, I was convinced that I was going to be the only one with Any Given Sunday. I love Any Given Sunday, and I love Pacino in it. Now Mace, tear him to shreds for picking Scent of a Woman.
Scent of a Woman is the hackiest hack.
It's a good movie.
Hoo-ah! I'll take a flamethrower to this place. Hoo-ah!
Charlie, give me a John Daniels.
I think that is just and that's the one, sadly, that he won the Academy Award for. They always win for the wrong movie.
What are your three?
I'm going to just combine the Godfathers into one.
I did too. I put him in number one, all the Godfathers.
Number two is Scarface, because I don't think you can make a list without Scarface. It's one of the most quotable movies in history.
Mace, if your number three is not what I'm thinking, I'm going to be shocked.
Okay. My number three is Dog Day Afternoon.
Whoa! None of the three of you picked Heat.
Oh.
None of you.
Yeah. No,
I always thought about it.
Heat is awfully good.
Wow. Heat's an all-timer. That's my number two. Godfather's number one. And Funch, I put Any Given Sunday three. Any Given Sunday is a football movie done by Oliver Stone with Jamie Foxx, Dennis Quaid.
Yep.
Pacino's the coach. Aaron Eckhart's the up-and-coming assistant that's trying to take his job. It is the most honest football movie. It's a modern day North Dallas 40. I can't, Mace, if that movie's on, if Any Given Sunday is on, I will drop what I'm doing and watch it till the end. I love that movie.
Well, you know, a lot of his movies are drop what you're doing movies. Like, I always drop what I'm doing if I see Scarface, if I see Donnie Brasco, if I see, by the way, a really underrated movie, Serpico, unbelievable movie.
Yeah, great.
Devil's Advocate.
Dog Day Afternoon is great. God is an absentee landlord. Yeah, Devil's Advocate's great.
I knew you were going to. I just teed you up for that line because I know you love that line so much. All right,
Is anybody better at playing over the top than Pacino? Over the top Pacino is fantastic.
Yeah. All right, Funch.
Fast track.
All right, Mace. Trent Williams is one of the best left tackles in football. But he's been in a contract dispute with the Redskins for 2 years and has been demanding a trade. So Washington was about to trade him to the Vikings, only to have Williams announce he didn't want to play in Minnesota. So that deal fell apart. And later, Williams was traded to the NFC champion 49ers for a third and fifth round pick. Do you think more players are going to do this now, demand a trade, and then orchestrate where they end up? That's been happening in the NBA for years, but I can't remember it happening in football. Did Trent Williams just change the way players in the NFL will handle their contracts in the future?
Yeah, I think very much in the way it's funny. It's Washington, very much in the way Kirk Cousins called his own shot. I think players increasingly are trying to flex what muscle they have given the constraints of the collective bargaining agreement. I think they are going to use what leverage they have to call their shots, and I don't blame them one bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the way other sports have been doing it for a long time, but it's not just that he demanded a trade. He demanded a trade and then vetoed the trade when they made it. His agent's denying that, by the way, but nobody believes him. Everybody's tripling down on the reports because there were Ian Rappaport had it, and there's other guys that had it, that he basically killed the trade to the Redskins. So the Redskins used their first-round pick on an offensive lineman. I wonder if the Rams got in that. I mean, it'd be weird because they paid Andrew Whitworth to come back. But
Rob Havenstein to come back, too.
Yeah, but Whitworth's probably in his last year, and Trent Williams, I think, has been to 7 Pro Bowls. So it would have been a good deal had – we should ask Les Snead about it, but I'm sure he would have said, no, we're happy with Andrew Whitworth. But that's a big pickup for the Niners. They basically got him for a bag of chips, a third and a fifth-round pick. Yep, and I think Trent Williams may have changed the landscape forever. Really, really, really interesting trade.
Funch?
Fast track.
All right, it is time for the birthday game. Now, I will let you know that I've already sent Alan Sliwa a text and told him, do not listen to this under any circumstances. So, Sliwa, if you're listening right now, turn off your damn radio.
Can't believe you trust that snake.
I've got 60 seconds on a clock right now. Funch, are you ready?
Ready.
Lindsay, you're counting.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Plays Jay Pritchett on Modern Family.
Ed O'Neill.
Host of The Late Show on CBS until he retired.
Stephen Colbert.
No.
David Letterman.
Retired. Sings What's Going On, Sexual
Marvin Gaye.
Plays President Trump on SNL.
Alec Baldwin.
Played Vito Corleone.
Robert De Niro.
No.
Al Pacino.
Starting Gladiator, Beautiful Mind.
Russell Crowe.
Dodger third baseman, ended up playing mostly for Texas.
Adrian Beltre.
Star of The Rockford Files.
James Garner.
Starting quarterback for the Browns.
Baker Mayfield.
Painted the Mona Lisa.
Van Gogh.
No, played Arya on Game of Thrones.
Maisie Williams.
Leading scorer in NBA history.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Star of Coming to America, Trading Places.
Eddie Murphy.
Coached the Raiders, Monday Night Football legend.
John Gruden.
No, coach...
John Madden.
Tiptoe through the tulips.
Tiny Tim.
Wow.
Coached the Raiders. How many was that, Lindsay?
12.
Okay.
Coached the Raiders Monday Night Football legend.
Yeah, you ended up saying it. John Madden.
Oh, well, then John it's 13.
John Madden, was he ever on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, he was the Monday Night Football guy. He was the Monday Night Football guy forever.
I associate him with Pat Summerall. And then going to Sunday Night Football with Al Michaels. I don't think John Madden was ever on
was
Monday
he not
Night.
Yes, he
was.
Football
guy? No, he was.
I thought so. Yeah, we okay, stumbled so he, on.
And was then who was
Al Michaels?
Who was Vito Corleone?
Marlon Brando.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going for young Vito was De Niro.
Yeah, young Vito was De Niro.
Yeah.
You got Adrian Beltre. You got James Garner. You got Leonard Baker Mayfield.
So
you did not get Leonardo da Vinci.
I'm not great with art, but that was that was bad. But I said Slee was going to get at least 6.
Yeah.
If he cheated, he may give me a run for my money. 12's not that hard.
That went tougher than I expected it to.
Yeah. Well, the Marlon Brando, you could have yelled Stella. You could have
Stella.
I just thought
we were just talking about The Godfather.
It would have been easier. All right.
All right,
take a break.
So
I'll play one when we get back. All right, 12 all is right, not good. We'll see what we can do.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, we are rolling on with Fast Track in Ireland. It's to you.
Fast Track.
Okay, we've been talking a lot about The Last Dance, and we've seen the first 4 episodes, and there are 6 more to go. The stars of those Chicago Bulls teams were Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Dennis Rodman. I have a game called Jordan, Pippen, or Rodman. Yeah. I have 7 facts. You guys simply tell me, is the fact about Jordan, Pippen, or Rodman? Here we go.
You forgot to say who can play.
Oh, yeah. Lindsay can play. Punch can play. Mason can play. Thank you, Lindsay. Let the audience know who's eligible. Very important. Did forget. dope on him. All right. Lindsay, you can go first. Even though all three players appeared in movies, this guy was the only one to receive a Razzie Award, which is the award given to actors when they're exceptionally bad in films. Was it Jordan, Pippen, or Rodman, Lindsay?
I'm going to guess Rodman.
All right, Funch.
Jordan.
Mace.
I'm going to guess Rodman.
Okay, Mason and Lindsay are correct. Dennis Rodman won 4 Razzies.
Wow.
Two for Double Team and 2 for Simon Says.
Never heard
so
either of
So Lindsay and Mason are on the board. That's why they won Razzies. All right, Funch, you get to go first. Although he didn't grow up there, this is the only one of the three guys who was born in New York. Is it Jordan, Pippen, or Rodman?
Jordan.
Funch.
Jordan.
All right, Mace.
Jordan.
Lindsay.
Rodman.
It is Michael Jordan. Mason has a 2-1 lead over both Funches and Lindsay. Jordan was born at Cumberland Hospital in Brooklyn. Funch, bonus point. You know who else was born there?
No.
Mike Tyson and Spike Lee were also born at that hospital. Okay. Mason's up 2-1. Mace, you go first this time.
Okay.
This guy is one of 12 children in his family. His mom was 6 feet tall, and she's given the credit for his height. Is it Jordan, Pippen, or Rodman?
It's not Jordan. It's got to be Pippen.
Okay. Lindsay.
Rodman.
Funch.
Pippen.
It is Pippen. Funches and Mason. Mason's 3-for-3, by the way.
I think we may have even seen his family in the documentary.
Yeah, his dad was only 6'1", but his mom was 6 feet tall, and all of his siblings are tall. All right, Lindsay, back to you. This guy had a sister, Deborah, who was an All-American and won 2 national titles in basketball playing at Louisiana Tech. Was it Jordan, Pippen, or Rodman? Lindsay.
I'm going to guess... Rodman.
Okay, Funch.
Rodman.
Mason.
Rodman.
It is Rodman. He also had a sister, Kim, who was an All-American at Stephen F. Austin.
Wow.
Mason, we're putting pressure on you. There's 7 of these, and you are 4-for-4. Funch has 3. Lindsay has 2. Lindsay, you went first that time, so Funch, this one's for you. This is the only one of the three guys who was named to the NBA's all-defensive first team for 8 consecutive years. Was it Jordan, Pippen, or Rodman, Funch?
Jordan.
Mace.
Jordan.
Lindsay.
Rodman.
All 3 of you incorrect. The answer is Scottie Pippen. From 92 to 99, he was on the all-defensive first team. Jordan did make it 9 times, but not in a row. Rodman made it 7 times, but not consecutively. How about that? All-NBA first team between the three of them, 24 times, if you're wondering why they were so good. All right, so Mace, your streak comes to an end, but you still have the lead. 2 more. Mace, you go first. This guy is the only one of the three players who majored in cultural geography while in college. Was it Jordan, Pippen, or Rodman, Mace?
I'll go
cultural
Jordan.
Geography. What'd you say?
Jordan.
Okay. Lindsay.
Pippen.
Pip. Funch.
Rodman.
Steve Mason is correct. It was Michael Jordan while at USC. Mason, 5. Funch is 3. Lindsay, 2.
That was the first one I didn't guess Rodman.
Lindsay, the good news is this is the last question, and it's worth 4. And Mason has the lead, and he has to go first. Here it is, Mace, for the win. Each of the three players are fathers, but this is the only one of the three who has twins. Is it Jordan, Pippen, or Rodman? Mace.
Jordan.
Lindsay.
Pippen.
Funch.
I think it's Rodman.
This game belonged to Steve Mason. The answer is Michael Jordan. His current wife, Yvette, gave birth to twin daughters Victoria and Isabel in 2014. May 6 out of 7. Very impressive performance by
you. Thank you very much. I've been watching The Last Dance very closely.
Yeah, very well done. You want to do one more or you want to break?
Let's see. I got that's a little dark. That's a little light. That's a little... I'll do this one.
Okay.
Fast track.
Some studies suggest that marijuana can help people cope with anxiety, which is being felt deeply across the world as the COVID-19 pandemic continues. But lung health experts warn that smoking marijuana regularly could increase a person's risk of getting COVID-19 and also having more complications. Marijuana sales are at an all-time high. Although there's no data on marijuana use in COVID patients, marijuana smokers should be wary of their habits because of existing data on coronavirus patients in Italy and China. So question, how do you advise people who are using cannabis to deal with the stress of the pandemic but who may have a higher risk for complications from COVID-19?
It's an excellent question. Let me check with my marijuana expert, Steve Mason. Steve, what's the answer?
Three words. Edibles.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't think of that.
I can't believe you turned that into three words.
That is the easy answer.
So wait a minute. If you do edibles, you're still ingesting marijuana. Is it less risky for COVID?
Well, what's happening is if you smoke, it's affecting your lung capacity. So you're smoking. As smokers have a higher risk of COVID because of complications because of the amount of nicotine and heat they're taking in their lungs, whereas edibles aren't. That's not affecting your lungs at all. So it's totally all right. Fine to take edibles.
As a novice in this particular area, does it cost the same to buy weed you smoke versus edibles?
Yeah, it basically costs the same. You can get away with the same. Like, I could... Here's an experiment. You ready? You want to try this?
Sure.
Okay. I will send you one half of one gummy.
Yeah, not worth it. Don't even...
half of one gummy.
There's
and
no
do
chance.
And do the show.
Yeah, there's no chance. Although, we are in the environment under which I could attempt it.
You could.
Because...
We're at home.
Do you know... Be honest. Okay, yeah. Moment of honesty.
Yeah.
During these quarantine shows, have you done shows on gummies?
I have absolutely no comment on that.
Damn, Dion Waiters, what's up?
I have absolutely no comment on that whatsoever.
I mean, there's no rule that says you can't, right?
No, there's no rule.
The shows have been good.
Yeah, it's all legal. The shows have been really, really good. All right, coming up next.
Oh, by the way, after a track, that joke, Dion plays for the Lakers now. I can't even make that joke.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I have to undo it. Yeah, I have to undo it and apologize profusely.
All right, coming up next for you, it's time, people. It's Sliwa. After Dark. Crosstalk is next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with... No, it is time, people. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time right now. It's Sliwa at sunset. Now, he's going to tell you it's Lakers talk, but it's always Sliwa at sunset.
I have to say, I'm good with Mace. Whatever you want to promote, we'll be starting at 6:30.
Starting at 6:30. So how was the weekend? What were the big plans? What did you do?
This weekend, I actually drove down to San Diego. So I was down in San Diego for one day and then back up here
yesterday.
Did
you see family?
I did see family, but there's let's just say there's a lot of rules that go into anything.
So did you wave through a window? How did that work?
With some family, yes. I have both my sisters have kids, so just kind of stopping by to say hello to them. But
so
to be
did
honest,
you just
Mason,
stand,
I,
in the, stand in the driveway and yell, "Hey, kids, don't come near me."
I wore a mask the entire time.
Did
How
you? That's
that?
Good. That's good.
But that's kind of crazy.
It is weird. Somebody sent me Dodger masks.
Mm.
I've got
I'm glad you brought that up because I can't figure out whether or not, I mean, you don't want to make light of the coronavirus, especially at a time when people are dying. Is it okay to wear like a Dodger mask, an NBA mask, like a colorful mask, or is that disrespectful in any way? And I'm asking. I don't have an opinion on it. I'm curious.
I can't see why wearing a colorful mask is a bad thing.
I'm trying to
make the most of it. Yeah, you're trying to. Hey, why not try to have some fun with it?
I know that people with some really funny ones.
I couldn't say that for real.
No, but I see what you're saying, John.
Lindsay, what'd you say?
What you're saying. I saw one. I saw Dodgers. I'm sorry, man. I saw one at the grocery store, and it kind of threw me off for a quick second because we're just kind of now trained to these almost these medical masks, right? Everybody that has one on, it looks like medical gear. So I could see what you're saying. Like, it kind of throws you off for a second. You just associate that with that.
I feel like a lot of people that I've seen in like the grocery store, and then I go to UPS probably like once a week to drop stuff off. And all those people have like, you know, custom made, whatever fabric masks on. And I've seen people with funny ones. Like, someone had one that had just like a sexy lips type of thing, you know?
Yeah, like, would that be weird?
I thought it was kind of weird at first, but it was also, it made me kind of like, huh, it made me chuckle a little.
Or like if I had a, like a Kardashian mask, or if I had like a mask with Pamela Anderson, that'd be weird, wouldn't
Look,
it?
Look, here's the thing, though. Just this thing has not eliminated the opportunity for us to have a little fun. I mean, that's what we're trying to do every day. We're trying to have a little fun. I mean,
right, but let's be honest.
There's rough stuff out there, but we're trying to have some fun.
That's been exactly what it's done. Eliminate all fun. It's keeping us, you know, like sheltered at home. So I don't know whether or not people are in the mood.
Hey, you went and played golf.
I know, but I was.
The world is changing. You got out there and you got on the links. You played 18.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can't do it everywhere. I'm curious. So, like, if. Well, maybe if you're going, like Alan, you said, you're going to the grocery store. What's wrong with throwing on a Dodger mask? Wouldn't wear it if I was going to a hospital or going to, you know, anywhere like that. But I can't tell if I'm making something out of nothing.
So Alan, tell me about the waving through the windows. Who did you wave through windows at?
Family.
Do you have older family, older relatives?
Like, I'm not going to go see my uncles and aunts that are in their 70s and 80s. You
right.
Know, I don't go to do
Did
that.
Did you not but, go and you know, wave through the windows for them?
No, I didn't do that. I should have probably done that.
I've done that three times for my mom because my mom is older and she's 81.
So these are relatives that you don't really care about.
Okay.
Yes, Steve. Yes, that is correct, Steve. That is correct.
Obviously, he's wearing a Dodger
Steve
mask and he won't even wave to him.
Steve was getting to the bottom of it. You found it, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah. They're relatives. You know, they're all blood, right. But.
Hey, let's bet a little mythical money here. First of all, Steve, we need you to be honest. Did you listen to the birthday game on Fast Track?
Let's do what we did last time.
Oh, God.
I don't even
John,
remember what
think
we did
I
last
listened?
Time.
Do you think I listened or no?
I do.
I could never win with John. Funches, do you think I listened?
No.
Lindsay?
Yeah, I think no.
I don't think you did.
And by the way, I think you're going to do terrible on this. John had a rough time on this one.
Yeah, I think, well, I'm going to.
How many
said
did you get,
the,
John?
I said in the coin flip that Alan would get more than six. I will. Now that we're betting actual mythical money, I'm taking the under.
Taking the under six.
Yeah.
Definitely under.
Should we set the over under at five to
tough.
Make it harder, Mace?
No, I think six is enough. I'm betting the under also.
Well, so let's make it hard on ourselves if all three of us are betting the under.
Yeah, you need to adjust
let's make it. Yeah, let's make it, and let's put a half in it. Let's
make
it
4.5.
4.5. Yeah.
Ooh, 4.5.
4.5 is
I'm still going with the under. Definitely still going with the under.
One's hard. What are you going 4.5?
I'm going to take a grand on the over.
I'll take a grand on the under. But I think you may get there. There's some easy ones in there. 4.5 on the
John,
under.
Was,
Lindsay,
was this one tougher than the last one?
Oh, yeah. This was one of the toughest ones he's ever had.
One.
I only got 12.
Jesus.
I normally get like 16 in my sleep.
What did you say, John? You're going to take put one grand on the under?
Yeah, just to try and make money off Mason. So he's taking the over. I'll take the under.
I'm switching to the under.
What are you doing?
I just looked at him. There's no friggin' way. I just don't think there's no friggin' way.
Do we need to change it? I was going to pick the under two. So I think we need to adjust.
Oh, that's it. Okay. So now here's the new rule. If all three of us pick the same thing, then we reset it. 3.5.
Three and a half.
I'm still taking the under.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Mason, you go first, and you cannot switch.
Okay, I'm taking the over.
By the way, I'm betting five, not one.
Wow.
$5,000.
All right, wow. Mates, you're going over at 3.5?
I'm going over at 3.5.
I'll go under for $1,000 at 3.5. Fun, okay. Do you want in on any of this?
I got some faith in Allen. I'm gonna go over. I'm gonna take you over $2,500.
God, all you need is three.
No, four.
No, no, you need four. Yeah. Four for the win, Allen. If you let me down,
Mace, do you think you would get double digits on this one or no? Are you getting 10 on this?
I only got 12.
And no,
I'm really good at it.
And I'm really good at it, he says.
No, John is. John is really good at it. This it did not go as well as I thought it was going to go.
Just you know, remember, four is, I'm regretting my decision. Four is too easy. I think
okay,
I
no.
Just I'm not remember, I'm not Alan, switching. The keyword, pass.
Okay.
Keyword is pass.
All right. Funch, put 60 seconds on the clock.
We got it.
I'm regretting my decision. Mace, are you ready?
Yep, ready.
All right.
Okay, plays Jay Pritchett, the dad, on Modern Family.
Pass.
Host of The Late Show on CBS until he retired.
David Letterman.
Sings What's Going On and Sexual Healing.
What's Going On, pass. I can't
right plays now. President Trump on SNL.
Alec Baldwin.
Played Vito Corleone in The Godfather.
Jesus, Vito. Mm. Vito Corleone.
Just say pass.
Oh, my God, pass. Jesus.
Starred in Gladiator and A Beautiful Mind.
Russell Crowe.
Dodgers third baseman, ended up playing mostly for the Texas Rangers.
Justin Turner.
No, star of the Rockford Files.
Oh.
Starting quarterback for the Browns.
Baker Mayfield.
Painted the Mona Lisa. Leading scorer in NBA history.
Kareem.
Star of Coming to Kareem. America.
Eddie Murphy.
I think Eddie Murphy was late, but it doesn't matter. You got five.
Did he?
Yep.
I think I got more.
No, you got five.
You got five.
What was I doing with Vito Corleone? Jesus,
I missed it, too. I missed it, too.
Marlon Brando, I gave you the exact same clue. Host of, you did get Letterman.
Got Letterman.
You got Letterman. Not get, the one that put you at five was Kareem.
Yeah, and Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, I was surprised you got.
See, I also think, though, that, like...
You did not get it.
No.
You kind of coach him when you say, just pass. I don't think you should be allowed to do that.
Mm. I agree. In the future, no coaching.
But I will say this, Lindsay. I've lost so many times in this game. I have got the... And I've wasted a lot of time that I kind of got that cue on my own, too.
Yeah.
All right, but in the future, Mace, you can't coach. You can only give clues. Alan wins.
Yeah, because you said it at the beginning, and then you said it a couple times during questions.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say it right now. Alan, pass. Pass faster than you're passing. Like, some of these things, you have absolutely no chance of getting. Just pass.
Yeah.
The Marvin Gaye started singing the song. Say it with me. One, two, three, pass.
Think longer.
No, Alan, say it with me. One, two, three, pass.
Take your time.
Oh, God. Can't even say it with me.
Sleeman, what did you think of The Last Dance last night?
You know what? You know, it was actually so fascinating. I think the most interesting thing for me the entire time, when they talked about that Rodman wanting to go to Vegas, it wasn't even the Rodman wanting to go to Vegas. It was Phil trying to convince Jordan that it was okay for Rodman to go to Vegas. Like, I just thought that dynamic was – it was I don't want to say vintage – but, like, man, if there was one thing Phil understood, it's how to get the most out of every player. And that page, you know, that blueprint was not the same for any of these guys. Like, the way he treated Scotty was so much different than the way he motivated Jordan.
Can you
imagine?
Can you imagine it now if a player did that? But, Mace, it is a player's league now. Like, if Kawhi Leonard announced, I'm going to Vegas for 4 days, the Clippers couldn't do anything about it.
No. But I think Alan makes a really smart point, which is he did coach every player differently. Something you don't see all coaches do.
Yeah, and by the way, it's the way life works, okay? There are different rules for different people. How many times have you been in a company and you'll say, well, that's not fair? Well, Howard Stern can get away with things that the person who's not driving revenue can't get away with. It's just the way it works.
But it's not even just that, John. It's giving each player what they need to be successful. It's not
Do you know that Phil didn't? Okay, so it's standard operating procedure on any team I've ever covered that every player has to be there 90 minutes before the game.
Right.
And if not, you get fined. With Rodman, Phil told him, okay, you get 60 minutes because I know you beat to a different drum. You don't have to be here at 6 o'clock. Just get here by 6:30. But if you're late, you get fined. Then Phil went to the rest of the team and said, hey, when Rodman wasn't in the room, said, guys, Dennis, I want to show Dennis that I'm working with him, that I appreciate the fact that he's eccentric, that, as you put it earlier, Mace, walks backwards.
Yes.
And so this is a bone I can throw him. I want to see if I say, hey, I'll cut you some slack. I want to see if he can go without getting fined. If he gets here a minute after 6:30. And Steve Kerr was saying, you know what, we understood it. It made sense. Dennis, you know, led the league in rebounding all 3 years the Bulls won the title. Seven straight years he led the NBA in rebounding.
You know, Jordan, I think that's kind of the brilliance of it. There is no one size fits all. There's also a lot of coaches that would say, no, you're going to do it my way or the highway. And there's, by the way, that's not uncommon at all. Anybody in powerful positions where you have people under you, they're demanding, you're going to do it my way, and that's it. And I think that's what – I think – The genius in Phil was he can kind of separate ego, and he took this mindset of, if I do this, I actually think this will help us and help the entire team. And when you said he goes up to the entire team and he kind of explains to them that extra half hour for Rodman, he explained it in a way that to get to our goal, this actually helps us. And I think a lot of people won't go that extra step. They're just – that ego will jump in and say, no, these are my rules. You got to abide by them. Phil wasn't like that.
The other thing is, what would you have given for video of Jordan knocking on Rodman's hotel room door and Carmen Electra hiding behind the couch? Oh, my God, would that be great?
That yeah, whole –
Alan, you're how old are you? I don't even know. What's your age?
37.
You were born at 30. You're 37? So yeah. How old were you when the Bad Boys were playing?
Bad Boys.
So late 80s, seven, early 90s.
Yeah, 7, 8 years old.
You weren't really watching these games.
So when I really started watching Lakers basketball, it was towards the end of Magic's career. Like yesterday they're putting up Lakers in the finals versus the Bulls. I remember all that. I remember Perkins hitting that shot in game one and everybody thinking, at least, you know, I remember telling my uncle vividly, I'm like, the series is over. We're up 1-0. Even if we lose and it's 1-1, we're going to go back to L.A. and win all three in a row. That was kind of the start of my era of watching Lakers basketball. And then after that, it was the Eddie Jones, Nick Van Exel, coyote roaming right in front of my place, guys. Just looking, just searching right now.
Seriously, there's a coyote in front of your place?
Literally just roaming right now. You hear the dogs in the background.
Can you get can we hear some sound from it?
Like a play-by-play?
Can you get us some? Yeah, give us some Joe Buck play-by-play.
He literally just went down the hill.
So crazy. Where the hell? In Chinatown?
Silver Lake.
Oh, that's right. You're in Silver Lake. And they have coyotes in Silver Lake?
You know what's crazy? A lot of coyotes. A lot of coyotes around here. And they are 100%, like, yes, they're looking for rabbits and stuff like that, but really they're looking for other pets.
Really? So you have to really watch your dogs over there?
Dogs and cats. A lot of cats, too.
Do you have a dog?
I do not have a dog.
Do you have anything?
I have my laptop and my app to call into for the show.
That's pretty much it. That's all he's got. It's so sad. So sad.
That's under my net worth.
All right, coming up next, more Sliwa at Sunset. Crosstalk rolls on. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland. I want to let you know, brand new Culture Pop podcast just went up at stevemason.com. John, guess who it is?
Well, I know you were trying to get Tony Dalton. Did you get him?
It's Tony Dalton who played Paulo Salamanca.
How was he? Mm.
He was fantastic. Great guy. He's in Mexico City. He's sheltering in place. Talks about the character. Talks about the backstory. Talks about how it all came to be. Talks about the final episode. Talks about, and I think you can say this, he's almost got like superhuman qualities Lalo does. Like, he's a super bad guy.
Right. No. Now, by the way, Mace, I think based on this performance, this guy, Tony Dalton, is going to get huge offers. I mean, like, if I was, like, I can see him being a Bond villain. I mean,
yeah,
I think
me
he's
too.
That good at it.
The thing I love about him is he's obviously an evil guy, but he does it all with a smile. Like, he's a charming evil guy, a likable bad
and
guy.
And he always knows more than he leads on.
Yes, yes. Although I read, we actually talk about this a little bit. I read Vince Gilligan says Lalo is playing checkers and Gus Fring is playing chess, which is an interesting way to look at the characters. Yeah. So anyway, that's at SteveMason.com right now. Tony Dalton, great guy. And coming up later on this week, Ray Seahorn, who plays Kim Wexler.
All right, so Sligo,
Mace, that's amazing, by the way. That's amazing. Just those characters right now, like at this stage, you guys were just talking about Lalo. Do you remember his opening scene to start really just his first, obviously, appearance on Better Call Saul? Do you guys remember what that scene was or no?
No. What was it?
They walk in. Nacho walks into the restaurant where they do all their deals, you know, where people come in and give them the money. He's in the back cooking. And he's
That's
just sitting
right.
there singing. Like, there were so many small things about his character, and you're like, who's this guy? And just from that moment, you were attracted to that character. He was great. He was amazing.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And I agree with you, John. I think he's going to be a really, really big star. By the way, another thing we talk about there is he had a hard time working because he's Mexican but doesn't look Mexican. He was often cast as white as opposed to Mexican, and finally somebody saw him in this light, and he's playing this great Mexican villain. So really, really cool guy. Really lucky to get him on the show. All right, so Alan, you've got a game.
You guys want to do some college trivia?
I live for this.
In light of the NFL draft on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. By the way, Mace, what did you think of what they ended up getting position-wise? Did you like
it? Hey, I say offense, man. Let's go offense. Let's outscore everybody. Absolutely. We talked to Les Snead earlier today. It's clear that Sean McVay is the most influential guy in the organization because he got more offense, man. Bells and whistles. I'm all about scoring. And by the way, I think that linebacker they got in the third round, John pointed out with Les today, he was projected to go to the Rams in the second round, fell to them in the third round.
Didn't he go to the fourth round? Yeah, I think it was the 84th pick.
His only liability, nobody questioned his talent.
You're right. Third round.
Was staying on the field, and he was able to stay on the field when he was at Alabama. He was fantastic. So they may have a diamond in the rough there at a position where they really need linebacking help. So I'm happy with the draft. Les said, you never know. Didn't he say that at the end? Les kind of said, you never know.
Yeah,
we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, we'll find out in a few years.
We'll find out. But, yeah, I was happy with it, man. I say let's score.
Okay, so in light of that, we'll do some NFL draft questions, right? And these, by the way, this kind of all is draft related. So old school, new school, all that stuff. Funt, you got some music back there you can throw in? Okay, a little... little kind of combination of some hip-hop and reggae here. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
First to four.
Okay, oh, God.
And your name is your buzzer.
Oh, jeez.
What team selected USC's Michael Pittman Jr. in round
John.
Two? Go ahead, John.
Oh, where did Pittman go? Oh, Colts.
Do you need
Colts.
To know it?
Yes. No, Indianapolis. Colts.
Yeah, it is. It's Colts.
It is
okay.
Colts.
All right.
That's hard. That's a hard question.
All right, here we go. We're coming back here, Mace.
Okay.
Tom Brady selected in what round?
Steve. Sixth.
1-1, guys. 1-1.
Okay.
What quarterback in 98 selected after Peyton Manning?
John.
Steve.
John.
Ryan Leaf.
Okay. 2-1. three colleges tied for most overall number one picks.
Steve.
Can you name one of them? Go ahead, Steve.
Alabama.
Not Alabama.
John.
Yep.
LSU.
Not LSU. Let's keep going. Mace,
John.
Another guess. I was just going to go round robin there. How do we do this? How do
we
do
this? Mace, go. Give a guess.
Ohio State.
Yeah. Nope. John.
Are you talking
Wait a minute. Ask the question again.
Three colleges tied for most overall number one picks, as in their player came.
Oh, all time.
Wait a minute. Are you saying all time?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were talking with John.
Yep.
USC.
USC.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that was a confusing question. I think that one should be thrown out altogether.
Of course you do.
Lindsay, are we throwing that one out?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Thanks, Lynch.
Well, thanks for your support. He did re-ask it, and he did buzz in, you know?
Yep. All right, fine.
Okay. What team selected Drew Brees in 2001?
Steve.
Mace.
San Diego Chargers.
3-2.
Okay.
All right. Find one here. Where did Andrew Luck play college football?
John.
Steve.
Steve was in the middle of saying Steve. John?
Ah, oh, Stanford.
Did you not hear this? Not even close.
By the way, it was a little bit brilliant by Mason. The minute you started asking the question, you started going.
This came first.
Notice he's always said Mason before today.
I know.
He's been thinking about this scam for three days.
A new strategy. What came first, the Ireland?
I think we'd have to go back and play the tape. That was too close to call.
I think I heard
Steve. Steve. Steve.
It confused me too, Steve, because
That's my new strategy to get it.
I had no idea what to do.
Hey, Sliwa, just start asking a question.
What quarterback was selected?
Oh, God, that's funny. That's much harder to say than Steve.
The John comes off a little different than the Steve.
I've been trying to see. I think my name really hurts me because is a soft part, and John, you have a hard sound to start your name.
Yeah, but the S was pretty smart.
Yeah, John's is hard. It's harder to go.
S is the perfect name to have. When Sliwa starts asking a question, you just start going.
But if you went back and listened to that, it would be Steve.
No, you have to say the name.
Steve.
Should that one have gone to Steve?
I got to go back and listen to the tape because I wasn't paying attention.
No, you have to say the word Steve.
It's when you start the word.
If it goes to Steve, all I'm saying it's 3-3. That's all I'm saying.
No, it's not.
I think it does.
He didn't say Steve.
I think it absolutely does come to me.
Maybe we should just tie it up and say this one's the decider.
This is it. Ready? This is like when John's up by 3 points.
I feel like the United States against Russia in the 72 Olympics.
Okay, final one. Is this it?
Yeah, this is it.
How many millions of people tuned into Thursday's NFL draft, Steve?
15.
Mason wins. Unbelievable. Yes!
What a comeback.
I know it is 15, too.
It is 15.6. 15.6.
What an unbelievable comeback that is.
Hanging up on you.
Oh, man.
That feels good. That feels good to win one of these, finally. Ireland. You know who he is? He's Isaiah Thomas. John is Isaiah Thomas. He's just walking off the court without shaking hands.
Mace, I'll never forget the video game when you guys played 2K20. When I called to interview you, your answers were straight out of like the Greg Popovich textbook. You had the most professional answers in an NBA 2K20 game. I feel like this is a similar moment for you. It's a big moment for you right now.
It's one of those moments that I think when I look back on my career, I will not remember. just will not remember this at all. But it feels good in the short term. I just can't believe John went all Isaiah Thomas on it.
I wasn't expecting that. I really wasn't.
Yeah, I wasn't either. It just, when you grow up, when you, from the time you play Little League, you congratulate the other team, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you do. When you're Isaiah Thomas, you just storm off.
I think he hung up.
Correct. He did.
He totally did.
Isaiah Thomas. Yeah, he just hung up. Didn't say congratulations.
He'll regret this. He's going to regret this moment in 20 years.
He is. Yeah,
he'll look back on it. He'll look back on it.
When we do Mason and Ireland, the last dance, this one's going to come up.
Mace, are you busy till 9?
Yeah, so busy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to double check.
All right. Coming up tomorrow, Steve Mason. We have got Herm Edwards coming on, who is one of the most optimistic, positive people in the entire world. He will motivate everybody. Tomorrow is our 6th anniversary, Alan. 6th anniversary. 6 weeks of doing the show from home.
Wow.
So we will celebrate that. Plus, who else is coming on the show? Oh, Momo's going to be on the show tomorrow, too. So that's all coming up for you tomorrow. Sleeve, what do you got tonight?
Your guy, MT.
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 Exciting. MT.
And, all right. And Bobby Marks.
Awesome. All right. Have fun. See you tomorrow. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.